of Calvary. You, the perfect Holy One, crushed your Son, who drank the bitter cup reserved for me.
All right, we should be good now. Amen? Hey, you know what? I don't know about you guys, but I'm thankful for Jesus who washed away my sin, aren't you? You know, it's already been a great day in the Lord's house, and just looking forward to what he's going to continue to do. And I don't even know if I have to say anything after that song from Maddie, but I'm going to try. So if you have your Bibles this morning, or this afternoon, rather, would you open to Isaiah chapter number 6? Isaiah chapter number 6. And, you know, as I learned the schedule and saw that I was going to be at noon, my mind started wondering, right? I was thinking, you know what? I wonder if it's because Pastor's seen me eat, right? You know, he wanted to make sure that there's something down there left for everybody else. You know, if you don't believe me, my dad's here this afternoon. You can ask him. I about ate him out house and home. Same thing with my mom. And my wife will tell you the same thing. So there's, you know, you may not be able to tell it by looking at me, but there's a fat man in here somewhere. Amen? And, but you know, I'm reminded of what Jesus said when he was tempted of the devil, right? And he is tempted to turn the stones into bread. And he answered there in Luke 4:4, says, and Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Amen? And we are going to eat good this today. So, but if you found your place there in Isaiah chapter number 6, if you would just stand with me. In the honor of reading God's word, here we go. It says, in verse number 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With 20 he covered his face, and with 20 he covered his feet, and with 20 he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean of the king, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from with the tongs from the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth, and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you today, and we're just so grateful that we have a God that we can come to, a God that loves us, a God that desires to have a relationship with a sinner such as us. Lord, we just ask God that you'd just be with everything said and done here, that you'd just take me out of it, that only your word would ring true. And we just ask that you'd work in the hearts and lives of everyone here today. We just ask that you'd encourage us, strengthen us to do your will. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. You know, so as we read Isaiah chapter 6 here, we see it's Isaiah's kind of vision from the Lord concerning Israel. A little bit of history or backstory on what's going on here. And so if you look back in chapter 1, it will tell you about the spiritual condition of Israel. You know, how that they were a people that were, you know, while they acted close to God and they went through this very much ritualistic or kind of just, you know, a works-based relationship with God, their heart was truly far from him. In Isaiah 1:2, it says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. O sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. You know, we see here in chapter 1 how Israel had rebelled against the Lord. You know, they knew who God was, but they had decided to do the opposite. You know, we know how, even as a pet owner, right? So I have a dog at home, which is probably more my kid's, you know, dog or Christy's dog. But you know what? Our dog knows who the boss is, right? If I say, hey, come here, she comes running, right? It doesn't matter where she's at, where she's doing. Here's the boss that has to come running, right? You know, but so many times we don't even acknowledge God in our own lives, do we? You know, we know that God should be the supreme leader and ruler over our life, but we don't even give him 2 thoughts. We instead go and do the things that we want to do. You know, and so they had rebelled against the Lord to seek after their own selves and their own lust. They're in verse 10, they had even been compared to Sodom and Gomorrah. And we see the great evil and wickedness that was took place in those cities and how God condemned them and judged them, right, with destruction. In Isaiah 1:11, it goes on to say, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me? You see, the people were still making sacrifices unto God. But God's saying, to what purpose? It says, I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of the goat, fed beast, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of the lambs or of the goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no more vain oblations, incense, or is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with it, is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. You see, they had not taken God seriously. You know, they were making these sacrifices to God out of just a vain, you know, religion, right? God desires more than just a relation or just some kind of act from us. He desires a true relationship. Amen. He desires us to be real with him. He doesn't just desire us to do something because we have to, because it's the right thing to do. He doesn't desire for us just to be in church on Sunday because it's where we should be, but because we love him. Amen. And so you see how they had not taken God seriously. They were living now a false relationship with God, doing what they wanted to do. You know, through every day of their life, they did the things that they truly desired instead of truly seeking after the Lord. You know, everything was fine in their mind because they were still making the sacrifices unto God. You know, so many times in our life as Christians, we get into that same mindset or one that's very similar. You know, we go through all week doing the things that we want to do, but you know what? We are in church on Sunday, and so all is good, right? We're Mr. Spiritual, amen? We take that halo and put it on, and hey, look at me go, right? But you know what? God doesn't just desire a false religion, you know, and of actions out of us. He desires that true relationship, a relationship that's out of love for him. He desires that from us, you know, that we would have that one-on-one true connection with him, that we would truly follow him and seek after him in his ways, not just what we want. Amen? Yeah. You know, to top all this off and kind of bring it to a head, because we see that condition of Israel. And so here in chapter 6, it opens by telling us that Uzziah had died, right? And so Uzziah had been the king of Israel. Now with this, we also know that that Uzziah, if you look in 2 Chronicles 26, you know, it tells us how Uzziah had went and he was in the temple and he was there to burn incense unto the Lord. And while that may be a good thing, he wasn't qualified to do it, right? That was something that was set apart that only the priest who were sanctified to do that and to fulfill that role could do. And so as Uzziah went, and even against the warnings of the priest that told him, hey, you can't do that, he went on to do what he wanted to do anyway. You know, and as he's trying to burn the incense, the Lord smote him and cursed him with leprosy, and he became a leper until the day that he died. Right? And so we see here in chapter 6 where it opens telling us that Uzziah had died. You know, as you think about it, and you know, even as a country here in America, there's been times where our leader, the president, was into a time of unrest. You know, but that's what Israel was going through here, right? They were faced with all these problems. You know, all the things that was going on in their life, and now their king was dead. You know, it's bringing a time that was very uncertain. You know, the Bible tells us that there's nothing new under the sun. You know that. Just like they were then, that's much like we are now. You know, history has a way of repeating itself. You know, and I watched something not too long ago, but they was talking about how history kind of does this circle, and they was talking about the number of years that takes for it to make the complete circle, and then it just starts all back over again. And you would think that as smart as we are, right, all that we say that we know, that we would learn something from the past, but it seems like we kind of go down the same road over and over again. And so while this is a direct vision of Israel, right, because here in chapter number 6, it's God's vision to Isaiah about Israel, right, about kind of that destruction and redemption of Israel, ultimate redemption of Israel. And so But just as it was then, you know, we can kind of relate that to us now and make it applicable in our lives. You know, it's kind of reminiscent of things that we face here in America, isn't it? You know, we see great wickedness and spiritual decay in everyday life, don't we? You know, we see how that people have began this thing of calling good evil and evil good. You know, they deny the Creator. They want to build themselves up in their own intellect, their own knowledge of what they say and claim happen, right? We heard Pastor Brandon just, you know, a few minutes ago talking about how even with the Big Bang, you know, they want to explain God away and out of everything in our life, right? They want to take God out of it. They say that God's not even possible. It's not even an option because this could have happened. You know, the odds of something that they claim happening, actually happening, is like ridiculous. You know, it's way easier to believe what we believe and we know to be true than it is to believe the lies that they come up with. You know, how something that we see now can come out of nothing just because there's a Big Bang, it doesn't make sense. How we can have a society of people that are clearly above the animals. It's not just that we evolved and we're smarter than the rest of the monkeys out there, but because God created us to be. We were created in His image. You know, but people want to use their intellect to take God out of everything. They want to take God out of everything so that they can live a life that they want to live without repercussions or worrying about what's going to happen. You know, they want to live a life that they can do what they want to do and not even worry about it. But, you know, we know the truth. We know that there's a Creator. We know that He has loved us. He created us, and He created us for a purpose and a reason. Amen? And so, despite what the world wants to teach and the foolishness of the world and their thought processes, you know, we need to realize that we need to be close with the Lord. You know, so most Americans, you know, claim to be Christians even despite all the wickedness and evil that we see out there today. You know, if you go out and take a poll, as many people do, they take a poll and see how many people claim to be Christians, it's almost staggering that a majority of Americans all say, yep, I'm a Christian. You know, they say it with their mouth, but their actions are far from the Lord, aren't they? Amen. You know, they don't take God seriously. They want to have the rewards, the benefits, without any of the sacrifice. You know, it's a false Christianity, and it's leading to the destruction that we see before us. You know, in 2 Timothy 3:1, it says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than the lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And don't we see that so many times in our life? We see these churches, right? They claim to be churches, but they're out here preaching a false religion. They're preaching, hey, you do enough good things, you come to church, you give to people, and you're going to get to heaven. Well, no, my friend, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus and what His blood that He shed for us. You know, it's time that we as Christians take that stand and stand up for the things of God, that we stand against the wickedness of the world, right? That we act like there's a difference that's in us. You know, I'm reminded of Matthew, but it says, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. You know why? It's not because of the good that's in us, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, but it's not because of the good that's in us, but it's because of what God can do and work through our lives. Amen? And so it kind of brings us to the main text here as in chapter 6. And so there's three things that I want to look at this morning, but three things that we must recognize if we're going to live a life for the Lord, a life where we can answer the call. And so this morning, my question to you is this: will you go? Okay? Will you go? You know, so many times in life, it's very easy to put on our halo and say, oh, I would never do what they did back then. I would never deny Jesus like Peter did, right? I wouldn't be afraid of the when the storm arose and there's on the boat with Jesus. You know, hey, you know what? If I was on that boat and Jesus bent me out there on the water, I would get out of that boat and step right out there, right? You know, we put that halo on, we think, hey, we wouldn't make the same mistakes they did, but you know what? We make it every day in our life. Yeah. Amen? And so there's three things that we must recognize. Number one, we must recognize our condition. We must recognize our condition. Here in Isaiah chapter 6, I'm just going to read through here, 1 through 5, I believe it is. But we saw how Uzziah died, and it says, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. You know, we're going to break this down for just a minute here. But in these verses, you know, Isaiah's vision shows no matter how grim things look, God is still on the throne. No matter what is going on in our life, God is still in control. You know, as the children of Israel was there, and they had all the spiritual wickedness and decay in their nation, we saw how their king had died, right? How things looked so bad, so bleak, but God was still on the throne. Amen? You know, we see how here in verse number one, it says that he was high and lifted up. You know, it shows God's supreme sovereignty over all of creation. You know what? He is bigger than any king. He's bigger than any president. He's bigger than any circumstance and bad situation in our life. You know, he can handle it all. He has created all, and he is in control of all. Here in verse number two, it describes the seraphims. And we think about these seraphims as they were a heavenly creature. You know, one day we're going to get to see them when we're in heaven, amen? But you know, as we see these seraphims, and it shows how they had six wings, right? And so what it says, with two, they covered their face. You know, that was showing reverence and awe in the presence of God. You know, many times when we see throughout Scripture and somebody had an encounter with the Lord, you know, they had to hide themselves. You know, it's one that we're showing that God is superior, that he is needed to be reverenced. That's why we bow our heads in prayer, is because it's out of reverence to the Lord, right? That we are in awe of him and what he can do in our life, but we're in awe of that presence of the Lord. It says, with two they covered their feet, and that's showing God's purity and how they were unworthy to even be in his presence. And it says, with two, they were ready to fly, right? With two, they flew. And it shows how that they were prepared and ready to serve to do the Lord's work, right? And that's kind of how we need to be in our own life. It's kind of a good example of how we need to be, you know, in awe of the Lord, right? That we have to show him reverence that he desires and deserves. We need to show that God's completely pure, that we aren't even worthy to be in his presence, and that we are ready to do the Lord's work. Amen. You know, as we continue here, we see in verse number three, we see how they declare God's holiness when they said, holy, 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 right? Think about how holy God is. It's one of his main attributes, that he is holy, right? That we see there in verse number four, that the posts of the door were moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with the smoke, right? And we see how it's filled with his presence and his glory, right? And so as we see that condition, you know, as we have to recognize our condition, we see much how Isaiah reacted here, right? We see how in verse number five, Isaiah became extremely aware of his sinful nature and the sin of his people. He knew how he was completely unworthy to stand in the presence of a holy God, right? He said, woe is me, for I am undone, right? You know what? We are extremely unworthy to have a relationship, to talk to a holy God, a creator of all. You know, we are not worthy. You know, so many times in our life, we want to build ourselves up and think, well, hey, I'm not as bad as so-and-so down the street. But you know what? We can't compare ourselves to so-and-so down the street or Joe that works with us or John or whoever, you know, John at Walmart. Listen, we have to prepare and compare ourselves with the Holy God. You know, the Bible makes our condition very clear. You know, in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, we're just simple sinners saved by grace, as Matty's saying about just a little bit ago, because of the blood of the Lamb, right? Isaiah 64:6 says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. You know what? Even our righteousness is as an unclean rag. You know what? I don't know about you, but I have 6 kids at home now. Now, granted, Jocelyn doesn't go and wash her hands, right? But I'm reminded of that towel in the bathroom. I think it was just yesterday, and so it's frequently. You know, we're always changing out that towel, right? And the reason for that is this. As people go and dry their hands, and it gets wet, and it dries, and somebody else dries their hand, and it gets wet and dries, you know what happens to that towel? It sours, right? It becomes that filthy rag. And so while usually I'll go and I'll dry my hands, and you always do the smell test. At least I do. I don't know, right? Because you know what happens with a filthy rag? Even though it may have done some good, even though I may have been able to dry my hands, you know what? A filthy rag rubs off, doesn't it? And it'll make your hands stink, right? And you have to change that out. But you know, that's how even our righteousness is compared to a holy God. Right? No amount of good things that we can do can make us worthy of the Lord. You know, it's something where, you know, we sometimes puff ourselves up and look at all the good that we do. But you know what? It's only because of God that we can do it. It never ceases to amaze me that holy God, you know, the same God that created everything. And I tell the kids this all the time, but you know, the same God that creates everything, same God that creates the sun, the moon, the stars, you know, the grass, the trees, the mountains, the valleys, the rivers, being able to go fish, right? So I hear rivers, lakes, I know I could go fishing. You know, but the same God that created all of that created you and me, and he desires to have a relationship with us, right? And it never ceases to amaze me that a God that's so holy, so powerful, desires to have a relationship with us. Somebody that doesn't deserve it. Much like Isaiah said, somebody that is unclean, right? That we are unclean, that we come from a people that are unclean, but God desires to have that relationship with us anyway. You know, and so we must recognize our condition. You know, we need to realize that we need the Lord, right? Sometimes it's okay to admit that we're not okay, you know? Sometimes we need to say, you know what, I'm not okay. We're so good about putting on a good show, aren't we? Yeah. Right? We can have all the problems in our life. We can be struggling financially, be struggling with family. We could fight all the way to the parking lot, but we step out of that car door into the church parking lot and we put that big old smile on our face. Everything is fine. Right? We're so quick to put on that show that everything is fine. But you know what? Sometimes we need to admit that we're not okay and we need the Lord. Right? We need God to intervene in our life, to do something that we can't do for ourselves, to heal us from our sickness, to heal us from some kind of financial disaster, to heal us from a relationship that's struggling. We need the Lord, right? We need the Lord to deliver us from sin. You know what? Just because we're saved doesn't mean that we never ever sin again. I wish that was the case. Wouldn't that be awesome if the minute we got saved, we never sinned again? But you know what? We're a fallen creature that's just saved by grace. You know, we're still going to make mistakes, but it should be our duty or our goal to live for Christ every single day. The Bible talks about taking up our cross and following him. It's not going to be an easy task. Jesus never claimed it was going to be easy. He just said it's worth it, right? And so sometimes we need to admit, you know what? We're not okay and we need some help. Number two, we must recognize our need. We must recognize our need. Here in verse 6 and 7, and I got ahead of myself just a little bit, maybe, but it's okay. But in verse 6 and 7, we see Isaiah's purification. All right, so keep in mind, he was a prophet. He believed and feared the Lord, but still had things in his life they need to be cleansed of. Here in verse number 6, it says, "Then flew one of the seraphims unto me upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." You know, think about, I want you to just think about this picture for a minute, right? As we imagine this altar, as burning, it's hot, right? And we see how the seraphim took a live coal, one that was glowing orange, off that altar, and went and touched Isaiah's lips with it. You know what, Christian? Sometimes we need to be cleansed, to purge our evil ways from our life and humble ourselves before a holy God. You know, I'm not talking about being resaved, because there's no such thing. You know, once we're saved, okay, once we're saved, we become part of the family of God and are saved forever. And I'm thankful for that promise from God, aren't you? You know, in John, 1 John 2, 1, it says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." You know, I'm thankful for Jesus, who saved me not from the things that I did previously, but from all. Amen? I'm thankful for a God that's powerful enough to do that. You know, but it also doesn't give us a license to sin. I know people that have grown up in church, have known the truth, and have gone out and lived the way that they wanted to live, right? They have done the things that they wanted to do with this mindset of, it's okay, I'm saved. Well, no, my friend, it doesn't work that way, does it? You know what? We should have a desire to do the things of the Lord. We don't have a license to sin just because we're saved. That's not just a free pass to go do what we want to do, right? But Jesus has bought us with a price. You know, sometimes we allow sin to creep into our life and to take hold, and it's not easy to get rid of it. You know, as we saw there in Isaiah verse 6 and 7, the seraphim took that live coal and laid it upon his lips. You know, can you imagine the pain? Everybody in here been burned sometime, right? It doesn't feel good. There's a couple times that kind of stand out to me in my life. One time, my mom used to make these cookies, and I don't know what they're called, but I, like I said before, you know, Pastor knows I love to eat, right? So that's why I've been here and not down there. But my mom would make these cookies, and in those cookies, like, she'd indent the middle and put some jelly in there, right? And so she cooked these. Well, if you didn't know this, as soon as they come out of the oven, because she just took some out of the oven, well, I took one of those, popped it right in my mouth. Oh, let me tell you, that was a mistake. No matter how good those cookies may have been, it wasn't worth the pain that came, right? Because that jelly gets hot, and it instantly burned my tongue, right? And so, but you know, you think about that pain, how excruciating that would be, and to be on his lips, right? The things that we use the most, right? We're always talking, we use our mouth to eat, to talk, to do everything, right? But we think about that pain. And so it's something that could not be pleasant, but it was necessary. Amen. Sometimes it's going to hurt to get rid of certain things in our life. Sometimes it's going to hurt a little bit to get rid of some of those things in our life that need to be purged out and gotten rid of. You know, sometimes we may lose a friend. Well, let me tell you something. If you lose a friend over serving the Lord, they wasn't the right friend anyway. You know? And that's something I try to teach the kids often. You know what? We need to be careful and cautious who we surround ourselves with. That we put ourselves with people that are going to lift us up and draw us closer to the Lord, not farther away. And if they aren't with you whenever you're getting close to the Lord, they need to go anyway. But you know what? Sometimes you're going to lose a friend. Sometimes it might be something financial that you give up. Maybe you give up something financially to serve the Lord, you know, because you're putting that ahead of the things of God, right? Maybe you don't get the newest car. Maybe you don't have the biggest house. Maybe you don't have the newest TV that comes out. Maybe you don't go to all the sports games, but you know what? Sometimes we have to give up the things that we're putting in front of the Lord, right? And sometimes it's going to hurt a little bit. Sometimes we aren't going to like it. Let me tell you something. It's not going to be easy. You know what? We know that people sin because they like darkness rather than light, right? So many times we sin and we put these things ahead of God because we like it. right? And you know what? It's not always going to be easy to get those things out of our life. But like I mentioned just a few minutes ago, it's not always easy. It's not going to be easy. You know, it wasn't easy when Jesus dragged that cross up to Calvary and died for our sins. And we think about the sacrifice that he made and how it's compared to taking up our cross daily to follow him. You know what? It's not going to be easy to get rid of some of those things in our life. But like I mentioned before, it's going to be worth it. Amen. You know, we need to stand upright before the Lord. We don't need to be holding on and letting those things in our life drag us down, to hold us back. Because God has a plan for our life, right? He's got a plan for each and every one of you. He's got a plan for me. But we need to be standing before him uprightly to fulfill that and to do it. As we move into our last one here, number three, we must recognize the call. We must recognize the call. There in verse number 8, it says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then said I, 'Here am I, send me.'" You know, we read that, but have you ever thought about the gravity of that statement? How much that really means, right? That we would say, "Here I am, send me." You know, it's like I mentioned before, you know, so many times we go through life and we think, "Hey, you know what? I could do that. I wouldn't make those mistakes." But you know, when it actually comes down to it, that's a big statement to make. That we would give up ourselves, our own desires, the things that we want to serve the Lord. That we would do something that's not easy. It might not be what we want to do to serve the Lord. You know, I talked a little bit in the last point just about giving up some of those things. You know, and it may be something where we give something up financially. We may give up a relationship. We may give up something else in our life. The newest car, the nicest house, the boat to go to the lake on. But you know what? If God is calling us to do something, it's better to go through life without any of those things and to serve the Lord. You know? And it's something where it's not going to be easy to make that choice. Right? But I would ask you today, you know, what is God calling you to do? Have you thought about that? What is God calling you to do? You know, the Lord has saved us for a purpose. Amen. He didn't just save us so that we can go to heaven one day. He saved us so that we can have a true, meaningful, lasting relationship with him. Amen. Right? How, not that it just ends with us and our own salvation, that we get to go to heaven one day. As awesome that is, you know what? He saved us so that we can impact the lives of the lost and dying world all around us. Amen. Right? He saved us for a purpose and a reason. You know, as I was looking, even today, coming in, if you don't know, but we have the box there in the back with the ping pong balls. It's something where it's just kind of a record, right? And you see the green ping pong balls are back there for people being discipled. White are for people being saved. Yeah, and yellow are the ones that are for people that, you know, that we're getting working on, that we're getting close to, that we're trying to tell about the Lord. You know, but so many times, even in our own life, you know, as awesome as that box is, I see a lot of white ping pong balls back there. I see a lot of green ping pong balls back there. But you know what color is kind of missing? Is the yellow ones. Where are we at in our life that we wouldn't even be praying for and talking to somebody that we could write their name on a ping pong ball and put it back there in that box and say, "Hey, I'm telling them about the Lord. Even if it costs me my relationship, even if I lose a friend, even if somebody makes fun of me, that I would tell them." Right? But where are we at in our Christian life if we aren't doing the things of the Lord? You know, who is God calling you to talk to? You know, so many times in our life we think, much like, you know, happened with Isaiah, right? So Isaiah was a prophet and God was calling him to go out and to preach. And so when we think about God calling us in our life, you know what? So many times we think, well, hey, God calls people to be pastors. God calls people to be missionaries. God calls people to maybe do a be a pastor's wife or teach a Sunday school class. But you know what? God calls us for so many more things than just that, right? God has a plan for our life. God is calling each and every one of us in here to do something, right? And it doesn't just have to be about being a pastor. It doesn't just have to be about being a Sunday school teacher. But God's calling us to do something. And how long will we ignore the thing that God's calling us to do, right? How long will we just put our own self and our own desires, our own needs in front of what God says to do? So many times we put them off for so long that we become callous in our hearts. And before long, that voice gets smaller and smaller, and we hear it less and less. You know what? We need to be revived. We need to be changed. We need to be cleansed like Isaiah was, right? So that we're prepared to do what God calls us to do. Because God is calling each and every one of us to do something. You know, as I look around the room, you know, today, I don't know each and every one of your testimonies. You know, maybe God's calling you, telling you, hey, you know what? You need to be saved. You don't have this relationship. If you haven't been saved today, if there's never been a time and a place where you called upon Jesus to save, to forgive you of your sins and to save your soul, you know what? It starts with that. That's the greatest decision that you'll ever make in your whole entire life. It will change your whole destiny. It will take you from darkness to light, from hell to heaven, right? It gives you that relationship that only Jesus can do and provide. You know what, Christian? In your life, how long will we put off the things of God? You know, if there's been that time and place in your life where you got saved, where you've been changed, how long will we not act like it? How long will we put our own selves first and our own desires instead of the things of God? You know, the problem that we have in our society today, you know, we talked a little bit earlier about some of the spiritual wickedness and decay that we can see in America, right? How they call good evil and evil good. You know what? The problem is people have been playing Christian for far too long. We've been playing Christian. We've been going to church on Sundays, but the rest of the week, been living for the devil. Our kids have grown up in homes that see mom and dad say one thing, but live a different way. You know, that's one of the reasons why I'm kind of drawn to children's ministry. You know, is because with the kids, you know, you look at the percentage of people as far as that are saved. And so, you know, I'd say 84%, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I believe it's something like 84% of people that get saved as kids or young teenagers. You know, after the age of 19 to 30, that drops to 6%. You think about that decline. And after that, after the age of 30, I think it's 4%. You think about that. You know what? We are missing out because we're not reaching our children. We're playing church and these with that were there every Sunday, every Wednesday night, are nowhere to be found today because they were playing church. They was wanting God's, you know, blessing without any sacrifice. They're drawn into the world and the things that they want to do. But what's God calling you to do? You know, what is he asking you to do? Who is he telling you to talk to? You know, there may be somebody in here today that's getting called into full-time ministry. That's awesome. There's maybe somebody in here today that's getting called to be a missionary. That's great. But you know what? There's also people in here today that's called to talk to their neighbor, that's called to talk to somebody at work, somebody that is called to lift up a fellow believer that's struggling, right? What are you called to do this morning? Or this afternoon, sorry. But what are you called to do? You know, and if you hear that calling, right, in your life, you know, it comes down to this. Just like I tell the kids every week, you know what, everything in our life comes down to a choice, right? You can know that we have things in our life that needs to be cleansed, to be purged out. You can know that there's a calling that God's calling for you to do, but what are you going to do about it, right? We have that choice to make just like Isaiah did. When he heard the Lord say, who will we send for us, right? He heard that calling, but he had a choice to make, And he made that choice saying, "Here I am, send me." So I ask you this today. You know, will you be called? Will you be sent? Will you go? Or are you going to sit by on the sidelines? You know, Pastor Brandon just a little bit ago said that without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? We know that from Hebrews. It takes faith on our part to step out and to take that first step. You know what? It's not easy, but it's not meant to be easy. It's because of faith. It's not on our own power. It's on God's power, right? You know what? We can do anything through the Lord. God's not going to call you to do something for you that he knows it's impossible for you to do. Now listen, it may be impossible for you to do it, but it's not impossible for you and God to do it, right? And so it's time that we'd step out on faith and do what the Lord's called us to do. Amen? If I could have every head bowed and eyes closed as the music starts play this afternoon. You know, I just challenge you. You know, we've heard that we need to recognize our condition. We need to see the need. We need to recognize the need, and we need to recognize that calling. But just like I spoke just a moment ago, it's up to you. It's up to you to make that choice on what you are going to do. So what will you choose today? Will you choose to ignore the voice of the Lord? Or will you choose to follow him? I can tell you without a doubt that the best decision you can ever make in your life is to follow the Lord. He may take you to places that are uncomfortable. He may, you know, call you to do things that you don't feel comfortable.